This is Radio Superior 1941, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1941. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Lake Station, KUWS. Your friendly neighborhood announcer, Jack McKenna, speaking. It's Thursday, August 14th, 1941. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock World News Roundup. And Don Mason will send us live reports from the Tri-State Fair, including an interview with Flash Williams and his thrill drivers. Plus, we've got the hits from the 1941 hit parade. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Northern Pacific Railroad. Take a sleeper car from Duluth to Portland, Oregon, for just $74. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Russians continue to fall back as the Nazis advance, capturing Smolensk. And FDR and Winston Churchill hold secret talks in a shipboard meeting on the Atlantic Ocean. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Report with Webb Miller in London.
This is the British Isles. Webb Miller, your correspondent. American President Franklin D. Roosevelt and Prime Minister Winston Churchill met on a calm blue sea of the Atlantic for 3 days, weekend last. The war's worst-kept secret ended with an official announcement today. The meeting was initiated by FDR Administrator Harry Hopkins, who designed the Lend-Lease Bill passed earlier this year to give immediate aid to Britain. Nothing was disclosed about the specifics of the meeting or even where it took place, except to say, on the Atlantic. For days, uncertainty about just what was happening seemed to have frozen the diplomacy of the Axis powers, including putting the brakes on Japanese expansion in the Far East and Indochina. It was disclosed that Mr. Churchill left with a staff 23, so secret that most of them didn't even know where they were going. For the past week, the world speculated that Mr. Churchill and Mr. Roosevelt would meet. Some here in London believed that a leak was intentional to act as a red light to Japan. In London, this is Webb Miller calling America. Come in, Washington.
This is Washington. Lyle C. Wilson reporting. The White House announced today that President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Winston Churchill met on the high seas. They released a joint U.S.-British Declaration of Peace aims after the final destruction of Nazi tyranny. The statement had 8 points, including the disarmament of the Axis powers after the war. Among the points, that Britain and the United States will seek no territorial gains after the war. They respect the rights of all peoples to choose their own form of government. They will endeavor to continue free trade with all countries, friend or foe. Bring about an international economic collaboration, including improved labor standards, that after the destruction of Nazi rule, all nations must abandon the use of force. Mr. Roosevelt and Mr. Churchill were accompanied by high-ranking Army, Navy, and Air advisors. Lord Beaverbrook was one of the conferees. He is proceeding on to Washington to continue talks over Lend-Lease for his homeland and Russia. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson calling Germany. Come in, Berlin.
This is the Third Reich, Max Jordan reporting. The German High Command has issued a challenge to America and Britain. If you want to disarm us, then come and try. These same sources called the dramatic Atlantic meeting between FDR and Churchill, quoting now, a 100% flop. It would be undignified to even discuss the 8-point declaration. We know but one offensive, and that is military. We have but one aim, and that is the annihilation of the enemy.
We have but one task, and that is victory. If the democracies want Germany disarmed, come and get our guns, unquote. The Nazi communique did pose the question what the democracies would do against the Bolshevik danger threatening Europe. Speculation in diplomatic circles here is that the Atlantic Conference would result in even more dramatic announcements from the U.S. and Britain. Tokyo diplomats here believe that this could lead to a joint Allied action against Japan in the Pacific. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling the Ukraine.
This is the Ukraine, along the German-Russian battlefront, your correspondent, Harrison Salisbury, reporting. The Red Army is apparently falling back to the Dnieper River, the next great defense in the Ukraine. afternoon communique, the Nazi High Command also reports progress toward Leningrad. Although German forces are meeting fierce resistance in their three-pronged attack on Leningrad, Soviet Marshal Semyon Buryeni's Army of the Southwest has abandoned the River Bug. From my vantage point, it is unclear if Nazi columns storming into this rich grain, iron, and industrial province actually captured the great Black Sea port of Odessa. It is believed that Odessa has been cut off and surrounded and is in imminent danger of surrendering. All of this action comes just days after the fall of the mighty industrial city of Smolensk, as the Blitzkrieg warfare continues eastward to Leningrad, Stalingrad, and ultimately Moscow. With German troops in the Ukraine, this is Harrison Salisbury calling Japan. Come in, Tokyo. This is the Nipponese capital of Tokyo, Daryl Berrigan reporting. Thailand has been warned to go along with Japan and not heed offers from Britain and the United States. Naval spokesman today warned that, quoting now, Japan is in the calm before the storm. Hostile nations that underestimate Japan's strength are inviting unfortunate results, unquote. Japanese newspapers warn Thailand that nations that accepted Anglo-American guarantees are now dead, and that Japan would not tolerate any submission to Britain. The Nipponese Empire is continuing to expand what it calls its sphere of prosperity in China and Indochina, with new gains of military bases in Saigon and the Siam Sea. The newspaper, Heraldo, ended by saying that Japan has only so much patience, and when that patience runs out, there will be an explosion. In Tokyo, this is Daryl Berrigan, calling unoccupied France. Come in, Vichy. This is unoccupied France, your correspondent Jacques Mornay. France's authoritarian government is cracking down on all opposition. In an address to the nation last night, Chief of State Marshal Philippe Pétain declared that to save France from herself, his government must throttle opponents of Hitler's New World Order by smashing their undertakings and decimating their leaders. Marshal Pétain's new order is built on the grave of France's democratic parliament. Mathieu Pétain said France must overcome a heritage of distrust in order to meet the offer of collaboration with Adolf Hitler that the Nazi Führer extended to France last October. His first step is rather surprising. He appointed Admiral Jean Darlan as Minister of Defense. Admiral Darlan is generally thought to oppose collaboration. This crackdown is harsh. Marshal Pétain also ordered that all political parties be outlawed and made it illegal for these parties to hold meetings. He also ousted a series of public officials who hold high Masonic degrees. Vichy, France, this is Jacques Mornay.
This flash just in from Paris. Police have fired on protesters there, wounding several and arresting 16. The report from Occupied Paris says those involved were Jews and foreigners. From Helsinki, 17 Russian planes were shot down yesterday, while the Finns lost one fighter plane. Russian planes again bombed the Borgen district and attacked Katka in Finland. In return, the Finnish Air Force attacked Russian columns, barracks, and trains on the Murmansk rail line. On the home front, a critical House vote on Capitol Hill extends military service time of draftees from 12 months to 30 months. The vote was 203 to 202. The Senate then approved the bill by a 37 to 19 vote. Wisconsin Senator La Follette voted against it. Senator Wiley was not present. Opposing the extension were Montana Burton Wheeler and Representative Hamilton Fish of New York. They said the one-vote margin means it would be impossible for the Roosevelt administration to get a declaration of war out of Congress. After accepting some minor changes, Majority Leader Senator Alvin Barkley says the bill can now go directly to the president. The first ever peacetime draft began last November. The bill also removed the 900,000 limit to the number of men who can be drafted. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Now Jack McKenna has these important words from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lewis. One of your hard days, have you ever thought of going to California by train? Well, you could. You could afford it. Anyone could. round-trip rail cars and fares to California, one way via Portland, $65 by coach, $74 with a sleeper, and $90.30 with a Pullman. How about that? And, of course, you'll see lots of beautiful countryside. And it's clean. The dining car is just perfect and so affordable at $65 by coach. That's Northern Pacific, Yellowstone Park Line. Try it today. Well, wait till tomorrow if you want. Lou?
Wisconsin Draft Boards will furnish 934 men for the draft in September. Quotas include 4 men from Sawyer County, 21 from Douglas and Ashland counties, 9 from Bayfield, 6 from Iron County, and 2 men from Washburn County. A labor agreement has been reached between the AFL Hotel and Restaurant Employees in Superior and the Superior Hotel Owners Association. The agreement gives waitresses a minimum of $12 a week. 1941 continues to break iron ore shipping records. The steamer Harry Colby set a record by loading more than 16,000 tons of iron ore at the Great Northern Ore Docks. The Colby surpassed its own record set earlier this year. Hundreds of people gathered at Belknap and Tower Avenue today to see Superior's new iron lung. The unit was demonstrated by Peter Johnson, Clerk of Courts, who spearheaded a drive to raise money to buy the iron lung. The iron lung is motor and hand-operated, and it changes the pressure inside the iron casing to a rhythm which helps victims of polio breathe. There's special interest in the iron lung since several Superiorites suffer from infantile paralysis. The New York Giants football team is back in Superior for its preseason training workouts. The Giants were honored at a luncheon at the Android Hotel. Delegations from Ashland, Washburn, Duluth, and Superior included Ole Hogsrud, former Superior Teachers College mentor Earl Tubbs, current STC coach Ted Werrett, Tuffy Lehmans, and Steve Owens of the Giants. Also, the University of Wisconsin regent, Dr. George Sundquist. And finally, Jack, the Head of the Lakes Tri-State Fair is open, and people are flocking to the fairgrounds. Our man, Don Mason, is there. Good evening, Don.
Good evening, Lou. It's Minnesota Day at the fair. Organizers expect to see a record crowd on this, the fourth day of the 1941 exposition. The reason? None other than the Crash Williams troupe of Hollywood thrill drivers. It's been an exciting week. The WLS Barn Dance performed the first 3 days, and after Crash Williams, Art Castle will be in with his orchestra with his Stars Over America review. And for nature lovers, you can see live deer, bears, wild birds, and fish. It'll all be topped off with fireworks tonight, Lou.
Lou, ask Don if there's cotton candy and corn dog stands.
Yes, Jack, there's plenty of goodies for the hungry men, women, and children. There's even a rather forlorn-looking guy who has the job of guessing people's weight.
Thanks, Don Mason, at the Tri-State Fair at the Superior Fairgrounds. He'll be back, we hope, with an interview from Mr. Flash Williams. And that, Jack, is the news.
The best doggone newsman anywhere, folks. Our own Lou Flash Martin. Let's check the weather for this Thursday, August 14th, 1941. Occasional showers tonight. Partly sunny, or if you prefer, mostly cloudy tomorrow. And it'll be a bit warmer. Expect a high tomorrow of just 78, with a low tonight of 50 degrees. Hey, you can't beat summers at the Head of the Lakes, can you? Let's kick things off with this new one from the 1941 Hit Parade. Minnesota's own Andrew Sisters and the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy on the Martin and McKenna Show.
He was a famous trumpet man from our Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was a top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowing reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. It made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand.
because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band, and now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. A-toot, 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 he blows it into the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't throw a note unless the bass and guitar are playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays reveille. He's a boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. Boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a business bee. And when he plays, he makes the company jump A to the bar. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Do 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 riada do riada do do, he blows it A to the bar. He can blow a note if the bass and guitar isn't with him. The company jumps and he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy. Every night, and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet, because they know how he plays when someone gives him a beat. He really breaks it up when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
Oh, I like that one. That's brand new from the Andrews Sisters, the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy on Station KUWS. And we'd like to welcome home Norman Kramer with the United States Navy. He's on a 4-week furlough. How do you get those? Visiting his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Ben Kramer. Ensign Kramer has the life of Riley, stationed on beautiful Hawaii. Friends, trade home, Family Shoes has an all-out family shoe clearance. I mean, they're going all out. Ladies' shoes, just 99 cents. Play shoes for women and girls, 99 cents. Men's shoes, a little more, $1.77. Well, because men have bigger feet. And tennis shoes, just 69 cents. And they're the kind that don't smell. Get them now, the summer clearance sale at Trade Home Shoe Store, located at Lucky's, 1313 Tower Avenue in Superior. And here's a summertime favorite from Bunny Berrigan and his orchestra. This is Swanee River on the Martin and McKenna Show. Thank you. That's Swanee River with Bunny Berrigan and his orchestra on station KUWS. Take it away, Lou.
We've got Don Mason standing by live at the Tri-State Fairgrounds. Can you hear me, Don?
Loud and clear, Lou. I'm standing here with two spectators who've come to enjoy today's fair. And your name, sir?
Larry McCarthy of Ogden Avenue, Superior, Wisconsin.
So what brings you here tonight?
Speed. I like speed. I like things fast. Real, real, real fast. And that's what Flash Williams is. He's fast. Real, real, real fast. I hear he can get his thrill cars past 80 miles an hour. That's what I'm here for. Yes, sir.
If God had meant us to go 80 miles an hour, he would have given us wheels instead of feet.
And your name, madam?
Pearl Potter. Miss Pearl Potter. And I just want to say that I'm here for the many variety of plants and wonderful animal displays they have here. And for this heathenistic hero worship of these speed demons from that Sin City, Hollywood. Well, this Dash Williams fellow is probably full of tattoos and drinks and runs around. Well, not caring a lick about settling down with a decent woman. I know his kind.
Well, what do you expect a man like Flash Williams to do? He risks his life day in and day out. He could crash any moment. He's got to live for today, now, fast. He's a man's man.
He's crazy is what he is, and irresponsible. His kind can't be tamed. I know. Maybe I'll look in when he races. Sit next to me, Mr. Murphy?
Sure, but we've got to hurry and get good seats. We don't want to miss it if he crashes.
Just an example of the wide, very wide range of spectators on hand, Lou.
Well, thanks, Don. We'll be back to you in just a couple of minutes.
Boy, that Flash Williams must be something. I hope he gets an interview with him. On with the good time music, friends, in honor of Joe DiMaggio and his recent incredible hitting streak that ended last month. Joltin' Joe DiMaggio on the Martin and McKenna.
Hello, Joe. What do you know?
We need a hit, so here I go.
Ball one.
That's Les Brown, incidentally, with his band of renown, Joltin' Joe DiMaggio on station KUWS.
Let's go back now to the head of the lake's fairgrounds and the Tri-State Fair, where our man, Don Mason, is standing by.
I'm with Mr. Ernst Olsen, Lou, who has the remarkable ability to guess people's weight. How much do I weigh?
158 pounds, unless you've got ball bearings in your pockets.
Remarkable. That's exactly how much I weigh. How do you do it, sir?
I'd rather not do it at all. I had it all just within my reach. I was the cotton candy man. Things were a little sticky sometimes. Maybe at night I'd have cotton candy nightmares, you know, when everything is so sticky and you're drowning in cotton candy. You wake up screaming, that type of thing, but otherwise it was a good deal. And the next step, corn dog stand man. I was next in line. Sweet. All you worry about there is maybe an errant line of ketchup or mustard spilling, but everyone loves the corn dog stand man.
So what happened?
I asked for a raise. Now this, guessing people's weight.
But you seem to be so good
at... You don't get it, man. No one does. Watch and learn.
Hey, bub. What do I get if you don't guess my weight right?
You get a comb or a toothbrush.
And here's a nickel. Guess my weight.
196 pounds.
Wrong. Look at the scale. Give me the comb.
Huh? 265 pounds? Who would have thunk it? Here you are. We take the toothbrush, too.
Thanks, bub.
But anyone could tell he weighed more than 196 pounds.
And anyone could tell that if I overshot his weight, I'd be eating a knuckle sandwich for lunch. Don't you see? This is dangerous stuff, man. I hope you'll actually use the comb and toothbrush.
Excuse me, mister. Guess my weight.
Yes, ma'am. You weigh 129 pounds.
Land sakes, young man. I don't know how you guessed it. You hit it right on the head. Here's your nickel.
Thank you, ma'am. Goodbye, ma'am.
She didn't even step on the scale to try to prove you wrong.
Look, sonny, ladies can be the most dangerous. On the one hand, they can be sweet, like she was, and just be happy you think she weighs 129 pounds. I made her night. But on the other hand, if you dare try to guess her real weight, and then top it off by making her step on the scale, well, Bubba, you'll soon know the sting of purse ear when she slams that purse up the side of your head. This, my friend, is the seamy underbelly of the life of those of us on the road with the fair.
Remarkable. I didn't know. Mr. Ernst Olsen, fair roustabout.
Oh, you never know. The guy doing roasted chicken legs is doing a lot of complaining. I might get a reprieve yet.
That's Don Mason with a decidedly different look at the Tri-State Fair. Our hope is that he'll have Flash Williams coming up next.
He's a great reporter, Lou, so I expect he'll round up this man's man. My guess is that guy's chest hair has chest hair. Let's smooth into this next great number from our 1941 hit parade. It's Duke Ellington and his big hit, Take the A-Train, on the Martin and McKenna Show. Thank you. was Duke Edward Ellington and his new hit, Take the A-Train, on station KUWS.
I have these late news flashes in from our wire services. From Helsinki, the German drive on Leningrad was reported launched in earnest from the north today. Powerful Red Army defenses on the Karelian Isthmus have collapsed, and the Red Army is in full retreat. From Washington, British Supply Minister Lord Beaverbrook is in the capital to discuss British war shortages. He's coming from the Atlantic Conference between President Roosevelt and Prime Minister Winston Churchill. We go now one last time to the Tri-State Fairgrounds with our man, Don Mason.
I'm told that Mr. Crash Williams is in this big car that's pulling up to the thrill driver's tent right now. I'm told his tent is right next to the ambulance. Let's try and get a word in with Mr. Williams before he dons his helmet and performs his death-defying act. Mr. Williams! Mr. Williams! Don Mason here with the radio station.
Yes, Mr. Mason. I'm Better Williams.
I'm looking for Crash Williams, the thrill driver's guy.
Oh, goodness sake. Don't say Crash. I'm not Crash Williams. I'm Flash Williams. My friends call me Bertie, though.
Bertie Williams? Flash Williams' real name is Bertie?
I know. People always expect someone bigger and louder than me.
With tattoos and scars and stuff.
Not everyone can be like my good friends and colleagues, Jimmy Death Dodger Lynch. He's wonderful. Or Pat Midnight O'Brien. Or Flyboy Curry. Or Bye Bye Body. So, I started calling myself Flash. It's all in the presentation, you know. I've got to go now. I'm never late. Punctuality is my motto. Oh, goodness sakes. I hate it when they park the ambulance right next to my tent. It gives me the willies.
Behind the scenes with Mr. Bertram Flash Williams. I think I'm going to go and get a corn dog, Lou.
Thanks, Don Mason. Live at the 1941 Tri-State Fair in Superior. I hope you weren't too disappointed in hearing from the real Flash Williams, Jack. I know how you build these people up in your mind.
What do you mean? This is great. We had a great show. We owe old Don Mason a corn dog ear, too, at that. Let's get four bits and head to the fair tonight, Lou. Coming up next, folks, is Jungle Jim, Defense of America, Let's Dance, and Polka Time. We'll be back same time, same place, on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and we don't get demoted to the guesser of weights. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna wishing you one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1941, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Brian Matuzak, Joy Laporte. All events reported on Radio Superior 1941 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.